Welcome back into Sports Talk. Nothing worse than losing power, folks, especially during summertime and hurricane seasons. That's why WWL teamed up with Craig's Electrical and Generator to offer you a chance to win a portable generator. We're talking about a Generac GP6500 portable generator, a total value. Well, it's worth almost $1,000. Go to WWL.com/contest for your chance to win backup power from Craig's Electrical and Generators, because when the power goes off, Craig's comes on in WWL's Louisiana official emergency management station. Gearing up for 4th of July activities. There's been some fireworks already with the New Orleans Pelicans, along with the yell around the NBA to help us break all that down. We've got Chris Dotson, NBA media and scout. Chris, thank you so much joining us before the holiday, man. What you been up to?
Oh, just traveling, hitting some of these grassroots gyms. Actually going to be over in Houston, College Station, checking out the Puma Circuit this weekend instead of popping fireworks for the nieces and nephews. So, you know, staying busy in basketball. But, yeah, appreciate you. Hope y'all do well for the holidays. Safe travels. Just put that out there for everybody. We all know these holidays are dangerous. Let's be safer than Joe Dumars trading with the Hawks.
just curious, like, for today's news at least, how much of it was a surprise for you to see that the team has decided to move on from Reeves after just 1 year?
It was very surprising to see him just move on, part ways, cut ties, and just divorce completely. There were several mechanisms the team could have used to keep him around and seeing what else they could squeeze out of that second-round investment. And it will tell you a lot if he stays, you know, without an NBA job. Sure, that means Joe Dumars just waived a guy that really isn't seen as an NBA player. But if someone picks him up, that tells me that maybe the Pelicans could have had a protected second rounder, at least some sort of asset back for him. So it's kind of tough to see, because I thought he did well. I actually thought Reeves had an NBA future here, so it was surprising to see him just cut for nothing.
You know, Chris, it was interesting because with all the injuries that the Pelicans had this past year, Reeves really got his run late. Basically the final 2 to 3 weeks of the season where he was getting close to 30 minutes a game, and you got your look at him. And I guess Dumars and Weaver decided that they didn't want any part of him on the bench for the Pelicans' future. I was surprised by it too, because he's got the tape out there. I wouldn't be shocked if Reeves gets picked up at some point by some team just taking a chance on him. This had nothing to do with financials, as we've talked about as well, Chris. It's like the guy was a second-round pick. He was signed to like a 3-year, $5 million contract. They just didn't want him to be on the bench for the future of this organization. And I would be pretty surprised if he's not scooped up by another team.
Right. It didn't have to do with money. Hopefully it didn't have to do with anything like a spite, like somebody had some friction between him and the new front office or some other news, maybe unfortunate, that comes out later that they know about. Because I think he's going to get picked up by a G League team. He did well in the G League last year. The only bright side, to try and find some positivity to it, is they did – swap his spot with Trey Alexander, who, if you go back to summer league last year, actually dominated a game, Nuggets versus Pelicans, where Reeves is in there, and I can see why they think that Trey Alexander is a better player, but again, like you're talking about the process, and I just thought there was a way to keep him in the building, send him to Birmingham, let's see what else we got out of him, and it's unfortunate to see it. They picked a different direction.
You know, the buzz around the Birds hasn't stopped since post-draft, and a lot of things now have been swirling around the team with rumors about their interest in acquiring Golden State Warriors forward Jonathan Kuminga. Wondering what you've been hearing about that. To me, the biggest thing is the financials just don't seem to be able to work for me. But I know anything's possible, but it just doesn't seem likely the Pels end up doing this, and we really, between me and Charlie, are hoping they don't go through
Chris,
with it.
Chris, Kuminga wants $30 million a year. I don't even know who can give him that. Like, maybe Sacramento, like Miami, I've heard, is involved potentially. The Pelicans sure can't give him $30 million average annual value on a contract, even after a sign and trade where you have to give up assets to get him in the building in the first place.
Yeah, there's ways they could do it if Joe Dumars and Troy Weaver really want to go that direction. I think he would get more in the $26 to $28 million if they meet in the middle. But the assets, they want Herb Jones. That's almost a non-starter, no-go. They also want, now that they've seen that the Pelicans will trade away picks with no protections, everybody wants picks without protections, and even the future picks being top 4 or 10, those sort of negotiations are kind of a hang-up. And then the amount of first-round picks. They want multiple first-round picks, and the Pelicans, from what I'm hearing, seeing that they'd have to give a contract extension, seeing what it might cost, and if they had to include Herb, they'd only want to give up maybe one pick, a pick swap. That's it. And Kuminga is just his value in the market is going to demand more than that. And I can't blame, you know, him for going a different direction as well, because he's going to kind of get to pick his spot as far as where would he do a sign and trade.
Your thoughts on Kuminga as a player as well, Chris, because I know that the last 2 years have been better from, you know, the start of his career when he was 18, 19 years old, coming out of the G League Ignite as the 7th overall pick back in 2021. But he still hasn't really made that leap to where you're willing to give him that $30 million type of contract, average annual value. He just hasn't become the all-star player and reached that potential that a lot of people saw when he got drafted in the top 10 a few years back.
Right. I think a great model for him is in the same locker room he's been in with Andrew Wiggins, who was a top pick that didn't quite pan out, that needs to go somewhere else and be a fourth, fifth option and maybe not get that max contract before he was actually a plus asset to a team or a winning team at least. And I think Kuminga is kind of the same way. He's not going to demand that money if you just started everybody, you know, blank slate. Everybody starts with a new contract tomorrow. He just it does not demand that kind of money in this game. And what he's going to – the cap sheet, and the, you know, this team's going to avoid the tax. There's some teams that might dip into the tax for him. The Pelicans just aren't going to do that. So that, there's so many breaking points here. I'm surprised the conversations are still going on, honestly.
Looking at this Pels roster right now, you know, we keep hearing a lot of, you know, rumors swirling around this team. Do you think that Joe Dumars has done piecing things together, or is he still looking to add something out there?
No, I think they're still trying to piece a few things together. Sure, they got Looney in, and there's going to be a few other folks come in. But I think there's at least one mid-level swing, maybe not a huge swing. You won't see a Zion going out. But I think you could see a DeJounte Murray go out. You could see some of the other trades expand. With CJ, maybe you got to part ways with Jose to bring somebody else in. Because, again, you don't have to start the season under the tax. You have to end the season under the tax. So I do believe Joe Dumars might have one more swing in him, and then you see where that team goes, and then you duck the tax at the deadline depending on what you're really working with.
You know, I wanted to jump into Summer League, Chris. Las Vegas, we're less than a week away from the Pelicans' journey in the Summer League. It's so, so crazy. I know we've talked with multiple different reporters about the NBA offseason. It's just like a flurry at the very start where NBA Finals goes to 7 games, and then all of a sudden you're right into the NBA draft, and then NBA free agency hits, and then the next week it's NBA Summer League. And I want to get your thoughts on the Pelicans for this upcoming Summer League stuff, because having those 3 picks with Jeremiah Fears, with Derek Queen, with Micah Peavy, the second round selection out of Georgetown as well, it's going to be the Pelican fans get their first look at some of these guys. I just wanted to get your preview of Summer League, and then we'll do a little bit more of a deep dive into some of the players.
Yeah, we could do the deep dive later. I'll tell fans the thing I'm looking forward to the most is Corey Brewer being the head coach. I've seen him grow so much over the last few seasons. I've seen what happens with guards at Summer League, and we got fears it's really going to have to go out there and do something as an 18-year-old. And Willie Green has not done well, Dyson, Nikhil, Kyra, you know, developing guards. So I want to go see what Corey Brewer can do with a guard, how he gets after the big man rotations and has them working to make his guard's life easier. So that's what I'm looking forward to the most. And then, of course, you want to see Queen and Fears go out there, do well, stay healthy, everyone. But you were talking about the media, and it's such a helter-skelter kind of way. Hey, if you're a sicko like me and you stay in the gym, you love it. So anytime you want to do a deep dive, we can get in those deep dive suits.
Chris, me and Charlie were going back and forth before the show about, you know, this Western Conference going into this season and where the Pelicans' goals should be, or maybe fans' expectations. You know, for last year, I know everybody was excited and hoping to end up in that top 6 seed area after that 49-win season. Unfortunately, a bunch of injuries caused them to plummet down to the bottom of the Western Conference standings. Only 21 victories last year they ended up with, but there, with the way things have been shaking out in this Western Conference, it's going to be tough. Where can we expect a completely healthy roster to finish in a wild, wild West?
Oh, man, a completely healthy roster. That's tough. I think they would flirt with a top 6 seed, maybe clear that bar. But even healthy, that's going to be tough because the West is just so stacked. as constructed right now. That's fans, me just being realistic. But yeah, fans, I know the team wants to compete. I know just hearing from everybody after the change and the regime change that they do want to compete no matter what happens, if they can't move Murray or not. They want to compete for the play-in. So I think the fans should at least expect to see this team try and compete for that play-in tournament. But I just don't know.
Yeah, because you see some teams like, you know, you feel like the Spurs are going to be better this season. And I just, maybe Portland as well. I just don't know who of the teams that did make it in the top 10 might see a regression. Maybe the Sacramento Kings, the Warriors getting even older. I'm just curious, you know, still worried about losing that unprotected pick, I guess, for next year.
Oh, I'm very worried about that, because if you look at the West, I see one team that's going to be worse, and then, you know, you said it, the Kings. I'll never bet against Curry yet. He can still make them threes. But I see three teams that are going to be better, and that's including teams that finished ahead of the Pelicans. I mean, I think the Grizzlies will be way better. They won't be eighth seed falling off because Jaren Jackson Jr. won't be hurt. So health is a big part of it. I think, again, flirt with the top six seed, but fans should expect to be on pins and needles all season long fighting for that 10th and 9th seed.
Your projection, Chris, for the role of Derek Queen and Jeremiah Fears, two lottery selections, obviously, you know, Queen's a little bit older at 20 years old, where Fears is 18 entering their rookie campaigns. I think Fears will technically turn 19 in October, right before the start of the season, but still, two very, very young guys, but two guys that obviously this Pelicans front office is very heavily invested into. Your projection on the type of minutes that you're expecting to see both these guys get after whatever we see from the summer league stuff?
Yeah, I think Queen will get more minutes. He's just older. His body is just more ready for the NBA game. Fears, I think he's going to have to spend a lot of time in the G League just because this team's going to want to compete. You're going to see a lot of point Zion. And again, Willie Green just hasn't had the greatest success keeping young guards on the bench and learning that way. So I think with Fears being as young as he is, about to just turn 19, but, I mean, he needs to get in the weight room and just get the reps. I think it would be great for him to go to the G League and start there and just see if he can dominate for 2 months and come up as needed and, you know, feel his way out there. But Queen, he's got the body. He's got the game. They've got the investment. You don't trade up for a guy that you're going to stick in the G League. So I think they really do have plans for him to play more minutes, even if they see more upside in what Fears can do 4 years from now.
And then also Micah Peavy, the second-round pick out of Georgetown. You know, almost similar in a sense with Antonio Reeves as far as guys that spent a long time in college. That's why they ended up being second-round picks. But with Peavy, someone that kind of made those incremental improvements throughout his, you know, six-year tenure at the college level, and then this past year really kind of developed as that true 3-and-D player, going to get to learn behind, obviously, Trey Murphy, Herb Jones. And I think he might potentially have a rotational piece on this Pelicans wing unit. But what are you expecting to see from him at Summer League as well? Because I think he's going to get some good minutes there too.
From what I hear, a lot of deflections. He's the kind of guy who comes in and been brought in as a second round. You said it made incremental gains every year. He's just going to keep working. You're never going to have a bad practice. The competitive level will be off the charts from everything you hear about the kid. And when he gets to Vegas, I expect him to give people a lot of problems. You'll see points, you know, without needing the ball, without needing to be part of the offense. There's going to be some long rebounds where he pops up, takes one dribble, dunks on somebody, and you go, oh, yeah, I remember that guy. We drafted him. And then you're going to hear a lot about him. Those moments will be what makes or breaks his summer league. If he can make those kind of plays, he'll stick on the roster. If he doesn't, it's just going to be tough to stand out.
Maybe this is a little bit too easy for you, Chris, but 6 days from now, after the Pelicans have that first game in the Summer League against Minnesota, who do you think fans are going to be talking about the most? I mean, is it going to be Fears? Because I feel like Summer League maybe is a little bit more geared towards guard play, and when you see the guards, and specifically the really, really talented guards, they flash right off the bat. Or is it going to be someone like Derek Queen, who, you know, you see the kind of talent oozing off the screen, especially on the offensive side of the ball with him? But 6 days from now, wanted to get you to look into your crystal ball and make your projection of who Pelican fans are going to be the most excited about.
6 days from now, they're going to be most excited about Fears because he made a bunch of shots. If they're negative, it's because Queen did not do anything and he went like 3 for 12. So hopefully we're all excited in 6 days. You know, I always cheer for the city no matter where we're at. Yeah, I think Fears has got like a 9 for 11, 8 trips to the line type night in him. We just got to see if he's going to start Vegas with that or end Vegas with that.
And Chris, wondering if you're hearing anything. We know that the Knicks are expected to hire Brown as their new head coach. Is James Borrego going to be following Mike Brown to NYC, or is he going to be sticking with the Pellies?
It's still 50-50. I was on that reporting, too, on the social medias. I mean, if Borrego really wants to go and his heart's in New York City, you can't keep him in New Orleans. We can't be, you know, you just got to let him go. You can't have that in a locker room to start the new regime. So if he wants to go, you got to let him go.
Always great stuff, Chris Dotson, NBA Media and Scout. Appreciate your time and hope you have a great and safe 4th of July, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks again. You too, guys. Stay safe.
Thanks, Chris.
That was Chris Dotson. You can follow him on Twitter at Doing It Dotson.